Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook, and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Health and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today live on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and we are also archived on iTunes. So please feel free, if you like this topic of the show and you don't have time to listen to everything today, you can always go to any of these venues and further click on the link and listen to this show or any others. These shows will be there for at least 6 months to a year, so that's really great to know. There are over 200 shows. Please do check us out. You know, today is end of October. Can you believe it? And we'll be coming into November. And I don't know about you, but I am so wishing and hoping for some cooler weather. Today it'll be in the high 80s again here in the deep south. And you know what? I'm just so over this. And it was so funny because to the listeners, we've had a show the other day was about contagious optimism. And I said I was being optimistic that the days would be cooler. Well, I guess we all have power, but you know, we don't always have the power to change the weather that day. We could change our outlook on it, but we can't change that thermometer. And it's so interesting, and that'll bring us right up to today's topic. We're talking about uncovering happiness and finding inner peace, you know. What really is floating your boat today? Are you complaining because it's really hot and humid outside? Or maybe you're saying, you know, I'll enjoy this one last day or so of warm weather because all too soon it'll be cool. And it's just something about the way you look at things and the way things are presented to you and what you do with them and what you don't do with them. You know, we all talk about the word stress. And I don't know, but I used to remember people would always say, oh, I'm so stressed out, I'm this, I'm that. And I would think to myself, I really haven't recognized that word stress or used it in my vocabulary over all these decades. But I do know that I was the type of person who had one of those date books that, you know, the whole 8.5 by 11 page was for one day, and I still was the person who was stapling the legal yellow sheets to that page for all the additional things I had to do. So was I stressed? Probably. Was I busy? Oh, yeah. Did I have a lot of things to do? Absolutely. But it's all about, did I walk around and say, oh, my gosh, I'm so stressed, I can't get anything done, or I'm so overstressed, it's going to rule my life. And then you turn around and you have this health condition, you say, oh, what next? And it's sort of like you hit the wall, and what I say, we don't explode, we implode. And what that is all about is that your inner being has just taken a hit. Whatever was keeping you going or keeping you running that tape in your head, it is on an implosion circuit. So today, my guest is Barbara Schmidt. Her book is called The Practice. It's simple tools for managing stress, finding inner peace, and uncovering happiness. And Barbara is a businesswoman, philanthropist, and a spiritual coach, and she's been doing it for over 30 years, and she will share more with us about her events in some ways, and she helps others, and also you'll be able to visit her website. The link will be on the bottom of today's show page. So, Barbara, thank you so much for being with us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, it's my honor to be here today. What a beautiful introduction, and I'm so excited to be on the show today. Thank you.
You know, and don't you think, you know, all of these things going on in the world, it's really about perception?
Your introduction, and it really touched me deeply, because I try to look at every day once I wake up in the morning as entering that day open and receptive to whatever, you know, the day has planned for me. And when you're talking about the weather and all these things that you were saying, it's so amazing that we get anxious and we get stressed over things that we absolutely have no control about it. And if we can adopt kind of an attitude of, wow, I wonder what the day has planned for me, or I wonder what's in store, and be a little bit curious and open to what may come our way, it really is the mindset for relieving stress and for really meeting the day at the best that we possibly can.
And I think, you know, people are saying, oh, is this new age? Is this a different way of whatever? And all these people are trying to tell me this hoopla to do. I get up in the morning, and, you know, before I go to bed, I already have my day running through my head, and I know what I'm going to do, and I'll be darned if I don't make sure that I get all that stuff done. And at the end of the day, I'm going to further make sure that I get all that I am committed to doing and that I'm commanding my life get done. And I think when we talk about what you and I will be talking about today, is about these tools for finding a different way of looking at things, I think it takes away a lot of that. But we also have to recognize, and I think this is vitally important, actually I've come up against it with several people in the past week or so, is that there are people who are choosing to stay in that mantra. They are choosing to stay in, this is what life is, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what it happened, oh my gosh, what was me, there's no way out of this, and I've given my control and my power to other people. So I always like to encourage the listeners to say, there is a paradigm, what I call. In other words, there's like, you think about those legal systems of those things that, you know, you put too much on one side and it weighs down, and a little less on the other and it weighs up. So I like to say, let's just even out the balances a little bit better. We might have a lot of days like that, but let's try and find another way to lessen that load and see if we can have a few more days in another way. And I think that's what your book is all about, is starting to lessen that load.
So true. You know, we feel a sense of being out of control much of the time during our days, because we're trying to control the external world. We're trying for things to come in alignment with what we want or what we expect, instead of, you know, really tapping into and really owning that place and that deep strength that we have within, where all of our power and control is. So we go into the world wanting the external world to be a certain way, can't change it, can't control it, and then we feel out of control. And you're right, I have a whole different way of looking at things, that we get our strength and our power from within, and we can control what kind of attitude we're going to have, how we're going to look at the day, how we're going to look at our lives, how we're going to live our lives. We have great control and power over that, and with that sense of control, we no longer need to feel control necessary in the external world, and it lessens, just what you said, it lessens the stress, it lessens the burden, and we're able to find a sense of balance in our lives where we can actually, you know, walk our path without feeling like we're going to explode or implode, as you said earlier, or fall overboard and drown. So many people today feel like they're just barely treading water, and we do have a choice in how to live our lives.
And so many times I think we're ruled, and I find that if you come right down to it, there's two things that are ruling our lives these days, is fear and loss of power. Or we have too much power and we don't have fear, but we have what I would call compelling assertiveness. In other words, demanding of the world it be your certain way, and you've lined up everything around you. So really, you know, those are two extremes. You know, one with absolutely nothing to them and one with too much of it, but really they're the same thing. They're just, it's your body inside out of balance.
Yeah.
And really, how can you go forward in life? I mean, that's a pretty difficult place to be. I mean, as I work with people with end of life care, I find that 99.9% of them get to that point, and you know, when hospice says, you know, you have a week left, that's when they're at the point of, what ruled my life, and fear ruled my life, loss of power, or too much commanding of feeling I have too much control over something that I don't.
Right. Well, you think about end of life, this idea that you really are with you. You're at the end of your life. You may have people around you, but you're really there with you, with all of your thoughts, all of your memories, all of the things inside that you're more than likely thinking about, ruminating about. And I founded the nonprofit Peace of Mind, Peaceful Life with that full intention that it's our mind that's at the root of all of our unhappiness and stress and inability to be able to really be in the moment and live our lives. And that certainly plays out, I would imagine, big time at the end of life when you've got your mind going and going. And, you know, if you've been living your life day by day in the moment with an attitude of acceptance and gratitude and balance, by the end of the life, the mind will be pretty much peaceful, will be something that is not regretting and feeling like, oh, I wish I'd done that, or I wish I'd said that, or I wonder this, or I wonder that. And, you know, that really takes practice, and it takes how do we do this every single day of our lives, little by little, each day.
And I think that's where we're really at the point now. Children that are being born into the world right now definitely see that they're able to take care of their full reign, and they experience day-to-day everything. I think it's really, we're talking mostly about the people that are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and potentially 70s. The ones older, many of them, maybe in their 90s or so, they've learned that they just live their life and they just go about it. But I think it's us that are all stuck in this middle generation, because really the world has changed so much. We have seen the beforehand, where our elders, you know, lived their lives and they had great lives and they had farms and they had food and, you know, they had good health and they took care of themselves and they walked everywhere. But then in our generation, we came up with, you know, people traveling so much more, and so much more in airplanes and internet and vaccines and so many more drugs and so many more surgeries. And when we turned around, what we got is a whole lot of things in our face, like all of these other things that we have to, quote, do all the time and be all the time, and how hard, and I think that's really what we have taken on as a society in these decades of our lives, and we're saying, oh my gosh, you know, I just wish I could have been more like my kids that are just growing up, or I wish I could be more like my elders who never even had to experience all that, as we call crap, you know, that's going on in the world. And
right.
Potentially that is, because it is making us sicker. It's making us harder to live our life. It's making things much more difficult.
Well, we're so good at doing, but we're not really as good at being, and it's, you know, we can do and do, and I'm a type A, and I do a lot, and I get a lot done, but I also know how to just sit and be. Carl Jung said the most amazing quote, and it really changed my life about 20 years ago. You know, he says, your vision will become clear when you look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens. So we have all these dreams, and we have all these thoughts and plans for our lives and for our futures and for our kids and our families and our country and our world. And we cannot, it has been such a awakening for me this 30 years that I've been on this path, we can't actualize these dreams into reality unless we do awaken from within, unless we really look into our hearts and say, this is what I want to do with my life, this is the kind of life that I want to lead, and then take the steps necessary to try to get there. You know, I think it's, the world is a place that can be very scary and very sad, and so many things are going on. But we can contribute to the chaos and the fear, as you spoke about earlier, or we can really come from a place of love, connectedness, and groundedness, and start participating in the solution. And I think that's my whole mission, is for people to really wake up to this knowing, this deep knowing of how powerful, loving, and strong we are, and start contributing to the solution of bringing about this great sense of purpose and passion and connectedness that all of us have here in the world. And we can do that one step at a time, one moment at a time, really living our lives with a deep sense of urgency that this is our life, this is our precious life. What was it? The American poet Mary Oliver said, just what will you do with your one wild and precious life? This is it. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is our life. So to really not allow the external world to cave in on us and cause us to be so stressed that we feel at the mercy of the world, and then you said earlier as well, it starts affecting our health, relationships, our mind. So it's really vital that we wake up and step into this life that we came here to live.
And there's so many times, too, that you'll get so wrapped up in that life or whatever that might be, and you can't even turn around and see or say what's going on around you. I know myself, you know, we would drive down the street and I would turn and see somebody crying in their car. My husband would drive down the street and all he would worry about is who's going to cut him off at the red light, you know? So we look at, you know, what is the value in your life and how do you recognize it, you know? Or do you drive past the golf course and see all the beautiful fog rising up? Or do you see the ducks playing in the pond as you pass by? You know, what you choose to recognize is what makes your heart lighter and open up. Versus does it seem like the world is outside attacking you? And I think your book is really good about that because what you have in here, you know, is a process of being able to start noticing things and start letting those other distractions melt away. So can you tell us a little bit about your book? It's called The Practice, and you have three steps in here that you talk about throughout the book.
Yes, I would love to. And I love the way you just said that, where you start noticing and other things and distractions melt away. That's really the whole purpose of our lives, isn't it? To really be in this moment, living our lives day by day and letting those distractions go away. It's a three-part daily guide. I call it a recipe, actually, in many ways. It's not meant to be rigid and not meant to you have to do this, this, and this in order for you to attain happiness or attain your purpose or attain your goal. It's really meant to be a framework, and it starts with a waking up. The first thing we do when we wake up really sets the tone for our whole day. So if we wake up and our feet hit the ground and we start running and let all that to-do list and all the things going on in our mind carry us down that path, more likely than not, we're going to be entering into our day already stressed, already feeling behind the eight ball or feeling frustrated that there's not enough time in a day. So I teach, and I've been doing this for 30 years, a little sitting with yourself, meditation, contemplative prayer, just a sitting. It's nothing onerous, nothing difficult, nothing heavy. That's why I call it simple. It's really just learning how to be with yourself, with your thoughts, with your mind, and just sit for 5 minutes. And I love to, for me, it's my connection with me. It's time well spent with me and before I launch into the world. So you sit with yourself first thing in the morning for 5 minutes, letting those thoughts just come and go, learning how to not engage the thought and not pushing it away, but just simply and gently letting the thought come and go. And it's an amazing practice for being in the moment. When you think about the mind thinking and you not engaging the thought, you learning how to just let the thought pass through your mind, it's an amazing practice all throughout the day for being in the moment. When a thought wants to carry us away somewhere, when we're having a conversation with our husband or partner or wife, or child, we can bring ourselves right back to the moment. So that practice in the morning carries throughout your day in the second part of my practice called Living Present. And it's in this part of the day where we are actually in the day, where we're actually living, we're actually encountering the world and doing all of the things that we need to do throughout our day. And I talk about three tools that we can use during that part of the day, focusing your attention, trying in as many places as possible, not everywhere because we're not perfect, but trying to do one thing at a time. When you're having a conversation, you and I are having this conversation right now, this is all I'm doing. I'm not on my computer. I'm not walking around my house. I'm really right here focused and really here with you and with your audience and with the listeners. So trying to find ways to be in the moment, the strength and the power and the love and the energy that comes from really trying to be present for each thing that we're doing and for each person that we're with, has an amazing power and love to it. We can't do it for everything, as I said, but we can find little ways in our lives where we can do that. Second thing is using affirmations. You said this earlier to start the show. What stories are we telling ourselves in the head? What are we thinking about? Where is our mind going? So I talk about using affirmations and mantras to bring the mind back to the present moment. If my mind says to me, Barb, you know, that person doesn't like you. I don't know why you're going to lunch with them. You know, the mind likes to stir up trouble. If I listened to it, I would cancel my lunch appointment with my friend or my colleague. So instead of listening to those negative, repetitive thoughts that come into our mind time after and time again, we can use affirmations and mantras to intercept those negative thoughts and bring us back into the moment where we can be sure and where we can be confident and where we can be really powerful. And then the last leg of the stool is letting it all go. We think so often that our day is one long continuous loop, and then the next day, and then the next day, but it really has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I like to teach so much. This is one of my most animated parts of my teachings. When I go to workshops and lectures, people really are so interested in how do you let everything go. And it's a practice, and it's so important to be able to close the day, letting everything that happened during the day go, to be able to start the next day fresh, clear, peaceful, and in a state of willingness and openness to be able to let what comes the next day. So I give some reflection exercises and some little questions that you can ask yourself 5 or 10 minutes, no more, right before you go to bed, in being able to release the day, good, bad, indifferent, whatever it was. We can't do anything about it. We have no control to change things once the day is over. But we do have all the ability the next day to learn from what we had done or not done the day before. And we can't really learn from something unless we're willing to let it go, unless we're willing to reflect on it, look at it, and then let it go. And more often than not, when you're able to let go little by little each day with practice, our sleep is more peaceful. Our sleep is less distracting. I tend not to wake up in the middle of the night with anxiety or with worries, because I've truly made it a practice to let the day go. I say leave the day in the day. And that's the practice. That's the three-part framework of really living life purposefully, in a way that we feel connected and grounded to ourselves and everyone around us.
You know, it's interesting. Over the years, probably, and many times on many of these shows, my correlation to your three steps would be, I think I've said this probably in the past, actually, it was just probably as recent as the other day. For the first one, when you said about, you know, about being, you know, getting up in the morning, I always say to people, you need to stand up, put your feet down on the earth, and be thankful for being here, because you know what? You didn't get dropped from the stork. Somewhere, somehow, something or someone or whatever it is got you here, and you need to be thankful for that energy. And then the second one is about living your day present, is being paying attention to all the little things. So always people would say, live it as though it's the last day of your life, and I really don't say that. Say live it as, because this is the moment that you have, period.
Right.
And it's so funny, you always talk about the end, about letting it go, and I've always used this, and I've always said this probably for, I guess, about 20 years now. I would always say, God does not sign for UPS. You cannot bring your baggage with you. You know, and it is so vitally true. You know, I mean, the stork, pay attention, and God doesn't sign for UPS. So
beautiful.
That's your way to get through my day.
Beautiful. You know, it's so beautiful to have your feet planted firmly in the ground and say, thank you for the gift of this new day. I was on a retreat about 15 years ago in Mexico doing a service project. We were building an orphanage and a school, and there was a Native American Indian family. It was a chief and his grandmother and great-grandmother. This whole family was there, and he was taking some questions from us and from the students that I was with. And one little boy asked him, how do you account that you live so long? Because he was about 80-something years old. And the Native American said, I go to sleep at night, really going to sleep at night, knowing that this is my last day on earth. And when I wake up the next morning, I'm grateful for another day. And I really thought about that, how magnificent to be able to go to sleep in peace, knowing that your day is over, and then wake up that next morning with gratitude for the new day. So it really was a great blessing for me to be with this gentleman and to be on this project, because it was so powerful for me in writing this book and this idea of how do I practice really letting the day go. And I love what you just said, no UPS. You can't take any of this with you. And it's such a great practice throughout the day. When you can practice at night to let the day go, it sure makes it a lot easier when things have ruffled our feathers throughout the day, or when we've had heartaches, or when we've lost loved ones. Having a practice of being able to let go, being able to learn how to process grief or learn how to process our anger or our sadness, and being able then to transform it and let it go is amazing. It's really what fosters and helps us live the terrific life that we came here to live.
And also, too, I think a lot of times when I've worked with clients, we've always said, you know, if grief is overtaking your life, which so many people are having those issues right now, let's say, okay, realize where you're at. So if it's taking over 24 hours of your day right now, Tomorrow, we're going to give it 5 minutes less and take a practice of 5 minutes, only 5 minutes, and make sure you time it for 5 minutes because this is a way you'll build a habit. Take 5 minutes and just do something else. Take 5 minutes and go outside and breathe, or take 5 minutes and eat a cupcake, or take 5 minutes and do your nails. Something else where you aren't thinking about that grief for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh,
and when
I
you
love
have
that.
People do this, you know, they do it over a period of time. Finally, they realize that maybe at the end of 30 days, I say, call me back in 30 days and make sure you're only doing 30 minutes. They'll realize that they're really doing more and that it kind of just dissipates, because that will foster and be that seed that will bring that away. So when you turn, you could take it the other way too. If you're having too much stress, only give yourself 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that's the purpose of what you're saying about meditation. Start with that 5 minutes, and that will eventually begin to spread.
Beautifully said. I went into therapy 30 years ago, into treatment actually for bulimia, and my first therapist in treatment, we were talking about anger, and I was really angry about some things, and she said, Barb, be angry. Of course, you have to be angry, get the anger out. She said, but then, okay, be angry for 5 minutes, be angry for 10 minutes, give yourself a time. How long do you want to be angry? And it's amazing when you do that, you almost start to laugh, because like, okay, I'm going to be angry for 5 minutes. It starts to be, you start looking at yourself and saying, do I really want to waste my time being angry? Let me get through this anger. Let me work through this anger. Let me truly feel this anger fully and then release it. It's a beautiful thing. Talk about power and control. We have no control, as I said, over the external world, but we certainly have control over, okay, I'm going to be angry for 5 minutes and then I'm done. I'm going to reflect on my day and then I'm going to let it go. I'm going to meditate and connect with myself first thing in the morning to ground myself into the earth and ground myself with me to keep my balance. And then I'm going to go out into the world. And you're right, it extends to the rest of our day. I remember being on retreat with the Dalai Lama, and he said, better to meditate 5 minutes every morning than 20 minutes once a week. Because 5 minutes in the morning leads to six, leads to seven, and really extends into your day every single day. And I just love that, that idea of really making the ordinary moments of your day extraordinary.
Well, if you're closing out your day at the end of the day and you're saying every day is a new day, unless you institute that positiveness into that day, it has nowhere else to go. It doesn't show up. So really, you know, if you're looking at each day as I'm writing in my date book and I'm throwing it out and putting it in the shredder, I need to have that down as my first thing somehow, some way for each day.
Yeah, beautifully said. Yeah, it's.
Can you explain to us your thoughts about meditation? You know, a lot of people meditate. It's like, okay, I'm going to go sit in the corner. I'm going to light all my candles and cross my legs and my arms. And it's like, yeah, sure. You know, I'm almost 60. I'm not crossing my arms and legs and sitting in the corner. And, I have my own ways. So a lot of people have their own ways. And to know that every single way is okay and there are differences and it's just about what's good for you. I mean, how many billion people are there? Million or whatever, you know, there's got to be that many different ways, right?
Absolutely. And my whole teaching and my whole premise in life is you have to find what's sustainable and what works for you. And the whole point is to spend time with yourself. So, you know, Buddhists call meditation a sitting. And I love that. Of course, they call it meditation, but they call it, I did my sit today. So I've used that for the past 30 years in this idea that all meditation is sitting. It's sitting with yourself. It's spending time with yourself. It's connecting. It's plugging into yourself. We plug into the external world and all the technologies today, and especially today now it's 24/7, but plug into yourself first. So for me, meditation is really just a sitting with myself every morning to ground myself, to connect within, to know myself. Ultimately, each day of this practice, I begin to love myself. I accept myself. It's really a spending time with yourself before you launch into your day, before you launch into your world. So it's nothing hard. You can't do it wrong. There's no right or wrong way. You know, Gandhi said the only failure in meditation is the failure to sit and meditate. So it's really just a matter of every day just sit down with yourself. It's difficult at first for people that aren't used to it, because being in quiet, being in silence with yourself, you start to hear the whisperings of your heart. You start to hear what's going on inside of you, and sometimes that can be a little bit scary or unnerving. Sit with it. That's the power, to just sit with it. Don't give in to the mind that says it's time to get up and go. You don't have time to be sitting here. That's why I say start with 5 minutes and really just sit with yourself and learn how to just let the thoughts the mind thinks. You can't stop thinking. The mind thinks, but little by little, as you let the thoughts come and go, they become less and less more noticeable, less and less more powerful in your mind. They don't draw you in as much, so you're able to almost have a double track going where I'm right here in my body, in my heart, sitting in my chair, meditating, and these thoughts that are going on are really waves back there in the background. And that's all it is. Can't do it wrong. Just look at it as spending time with yourself, sitting down with yourself.
And so many people will sit down and they've got themselves wired up, or they're looking over their cell phone, or they're just waiting for the text, mm-hmm. you know. And when we look at it, and we always say about, you know, we have to believe that our body is energy. And if we have all these energetic things around us just waiting to draw our attention, they will. You always like to think about it as, you know, a flower will always lean towards a potential source of water. So if we always want to think about it that way or towards the sun, it'll always be leaning that way. It'll never be able to stand on its own. And really what you want to be doing is standing on your own in light of the light and the sun and the water, but not dependent, you know, so that you have to keep going that way. In other words, oh, follow me, I'm the guru, I'm the expert. You want to really be standing on your own, just, you know, taking that in.
So important. You know, we are meant to become our own teachers. We're meant to become our own greatest and dearest and most loving friend. And we can look at other teachers and other sources around the whole world. There are many magnificent teachers and sources out there. We look for them for inspiration. We look for them for some structure or for some instruction. But then we look at our own lives and we see what fits and what doesn't fit. How can I sustain it? That's the key word. You know, we look at diets or you look at anything that you try in your life. If you can't mm-hmm. sustain it, then it isn't going to work. So I always say, be gentle with yourself, be loving with yourself, start very small, and do what you can do every single day, just a little bit every single day, and make it a sustainable practice for the rest of your life. You know, this isn't something we're going to do for a little bit, and then okay, I've mastered it, I've perfected it, now I'm a teacher, now I can stop. No, this is something right. that you're going to be doing little by little for the rest of your life, so make it something joyful, make it something sustainable, and you realize how incredibly strong and powerful you are. This is the, you know, this is the balance and this is the strength that we want in our lives, that no matter what happens in the external world, I'm not going to drown. I'm not going to fall off the cliff. I might wobble a little bit. I may have from time to time anxieties and stresses. Of course, that's life. But I'm strong and I'm capable and I know that I can handle anything. This is what happens when you develop a beautiful relationship with yourself and you start to become your own teacher, your own best friend.
And you know what? Also, Barb, if you could tell the listeners about the structure of your book, you have at the end of each chapter about enjoying the benefits, parting thoughts, and takeaway seeds. And I think that's important because even when you read the book once or twice, you might just want to, like, dogtail those pages and say, and, you know, one time you'll just open up the book and be on one of those pages, and it might be just what you need that day.
That's the exact purpose of why I did that. It makes it a little bit easier once you've read the book, exactly. And go to, sometimes when you read the benefit of something, you know, the benefit of meditation, one of the greatest benefits of meditation is you get to know yourself. You get to I now know who Barb is. I had no idea who Barb was back in the early days. I didn't know what I wanted in life. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what path I was going to be taking. So meditation gives you that benefit of really getting to know yourself. And if you take away a seed, the idea of a morning meditation can help you go inward to tap into that strength, that power, that sense of love that we have within us. It's just like a little quote for the day, or sometimes those little seeds or those little benefits. I'll open the book every single morning, and you're right. I open to the page, and it'll say, each day is a gift. And I think, right. You know, I can carry that little thought with me throughout the whole day. This day is a gift. I'm blessed to, you know, here. I'm blessed to be here today. So I found it important, because it's important in my life sometimes to just be able to take one little sentence and use that throughout my day or get inspired by that. So that was the whole purpose of that once you've read the book, and even if you haven't read the book, open it up and see what it has to tell you. Sometimes it's amazing when you just randomly open a book and see where you land. More times than not, it's exactly where you've needed to be and what you needed to hear for that particular day.
Absolutely. And then you have a whole chapter that talks about deepening the practice. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because a lot of people will say, you know, okay, I'm going to check it off my list. I did it. I'm good to go, you know. But a lot of times, you know, once you start clearing one thing, something else will come up. And definitely I want to focus on forgiveness, too, because what really is that, you know? Mm-hmm. And how can people actually pay attention to that, or is it even really important? Most people say it's not.
This is probably one of my favorite parts of the book. I contemplated about putting it in because these are all exercises and all things that I do personally and that I've done in all my workshops and lectures, and I love it. It's really taking everything that I've laid out here in this book and taking it to the next level. How can I actually, when I talk about focused attention, for example, how can I actually practice that? So I give a little exercise in there. You know, take a couple people. When you're with a group of people, really practice. I'm out to lunch with four friends. How often are we all four talking at the same time? Or how often is one of the friends talking and my mind might be thinking about what I need to go buy at the grocery store? So this exercise in here on how to really listen, it's a real beautiful listening exercise. Am I really listening when I'm at lunch with my friends, or am I somewhere else? And so if I'm somewhere else, then maybe I should choose not to go to lunch. It's kind of like really making choices. So if I choose to spend 3 hours of my day with my friends at lunch, really be there. So the little listening practice is, how do I really practice being right here in this moment? And I've got another practice in there of, how do we study when we read inspirational books? How can we really deepen our acceptance of their message and really deepen our practice with them? So I have a little, I started a, when I read, let's say, Thich Nhat Hanh or Tenzin Palmo, the Buddhist nun, or Eckhart Tolle, when I read his book, The Power of Now, you know, I spent a whole year reading that book, actually having a little dialogue in a notebook, read a paragraph, what did Eckhart Tolle just say? And I'd write my thoughts about what he said. It's a really beautiful way of deepening our understanding and deepening our connection with all these great teachers and masters and mystics. So that part of the book is about how can I take my own practice and really make it more my own, really make it special, and really make it deeper in an inner sense. It's really all up to you, and it's really all up to the reader of whether you want to go to that length. It's, you know, I always say, if you're going to choose a path, choose a path and then walk it. And it's not a straight and narrow path, it's a windy path, but choose a path and then walk it. So that means if I'm external for most of my day, find some time to be internal as well. So find 10 minutes to read an inspirational book. Find 5 minutes to sit with yourself first thing in the morning to meditate. Find 5 minutes at the end of the day to reflect back on the day and let everything go. It's so important to have that inner rich life if we're going to be out practicing the life in the outer world that we wish to have.
And also sometimes walking your path could be something simple as, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, I'm going to be considerate, I'm going to be caring, I'm going to be compassionate. It doesn't always have to be my path is, I'm going to, as we think of those external things, I'm going to be at the top of my game, I'm going to have the best this, that, or the other, I'm going to gain all these external things, and then my internal in secondary would be filled up. It's actually just the opposite.
Absolutely the opposite. It's, when people ask me what happiness is, when I say uncovering happiness, I'm talking about not this external feeling of happiness. I'm talking about the internal feeling of being strong, of knowing that I am loved, of knowing that I'm whole and complete. How often do we go through life? I know I was this way in my early days, feeling like I needed to have something to complete me, or that I needed to have somebody to complete me. All the things in the external world can complement our lives in a very beautiful, nice, loving way, but we already are strong, complete, and whole, deep, deep, deep within. And when we know that, that's happiness. That's uncovering the happiness, uncovering that deep knowing that I already am whole, I already am complete, I matter. I matter in this world, and each step that I take is a step toward leaving the world a better place, and also a step toward really living the life that I want to live, really finding my sense of commitment and my sense of purpose and the passions that light me up.
And it does take practice. I mean, this is not something you're saying that you can just start doing today and you're going to be great at it and the world is going to be hunky-dory, because
right.
not everybody gets there at that same speed. All of your friends may, and they may just be telling you that, but, you know, right. you may or may not be in that same place. It just takes a little bit while for that to happen. So it's important to understand that everybody is on a different path and in different levels, and just to be able to kind of, like I would always say, lead an amoeba life. You know, you have no boundaries, you have no endings, you just kind of mill your way through life, you know.
Yeah.
You just keep on going and you'll get where you've got to go. And, you know, I think without having such restrictions put in, control put on your life too, is so vitally important.
There's such a delicate balance between having some structure and having a sense of a path, but also being flexible and also definitely not being rigid and being open and receptive to whatever may come your way. You know, our lives change moment to moment. So how I was yesterday is certainly not going to be how I am tomorrow. And as we practice, not becoming perfect, but just practice, and just what you said as an amoeba, just practice being open and receptive and curious and allowing our lives to unfold in whatever way, shape, or form, and the external world is chaotic. The external world is sad and can be very disheartening and very difficult. We all have difficult moments from time to time. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a panacea of joy and happiness and love out there every step of the way externally, but you can have all of that internally, knowing that whatever happens in your life, you're going to make it. You're going to be strong, and you know it. So it doesn't. You lose the need to compete. You lose the need to get
right.
there, because you're just living each day, moment to moment, as it comes. So it doesn't matter where you are on your path. It matters where I am, and as we walk our paths together, wherever we go or however we get there, is a beautiful match, you know, of how we get there. And I think that's, to me, too often, I think there's a lack mentality that if you have something, then I can't have it. So I've got to make sure that you don't get it. And it's not that way at all. And I think as you start to realize that, your life starts to unfold and open up. You want every person to come along the path with you to whatever their path is. Not your path, but on their path. You have this abundance mentality where there's enough for everyone. It changes your life when you start really recognizing that you don't have control over the external world. Stop trying
right.
to control the external world and get really grounded with your own strength and control and beauty within.
And it doesn't make a difference when you do let all this stuff go, because you find yourself not needing as much material goods. You find yourself not having to run all the time. And you definitely find yourself, and I think this is the funniest part, I don't have a date book anymore. So I don't I don't put the legal pads in there. I just don't even have a date book anymore. I just live each day. And I know that, you know, I'll remember what's important. And if I don't remember it, then it must not have been that important. Or maybe it was just something I put in there extra. And, you know, being able to let go of that stuff, that I didn't have to be all of those things. I didn't have to do all those things. And all of those things weren't vitally important for me to get to the next day. So eventually some of that stuff does fall away as you start going through some of this process that you're talking about.
We definitely start lightening our load as we get moving along the path of age and moving closer to the end of our lives, for sure. We, as you said earlier, you can't take any of this with us. So we were in our little rowboat going to that other shore, and we start to unload not only physical things, we start to unload these mental things that are of resentment or regret or anger or frustration. We start to unload some of those things too and work through them so that we can have a lighter heart, a lighter load, a more a peaceful entry into this really second to the end of our lives.
And that can happen at any time. You know, that happens all through our lives, and it should. You know, kids, if you ask them what they did yesterday, if their kid's under 10, they'll have no idea what they did yesterday. And it really doesn't make much difference because they move through their days, you know.
Right.
And it's so interesting that as we get older, the doctors will assess us and they'll say, well, if you can't remember what you had for dinner on Monday, that's a problem. And it's like, no, it's not. Just get over it, you know, move on. Yeah. You know, don't put me in that box. If I can't find my keys, oh, well, I guess I put them somewhere different. Or maybe I was thinking about something else, or maybe it's just not that important. They'll show up, you know. And to not be so stuck in those paradigms of the boxes that society puts on us.
Yeah, it's so true. Just because I can't remember my keys doesn't mean I'm losing my memory. And I think that the stories we tell ourselves, how often do we say, oh, I can't find my keys. Oh, my gosh, I'm getting so old. I must be losing my mind. I mean, you keep telling yourself that story over and over again, you're going to believe you're losing your mind. And it's just not true. It's really to, I say often, be serious about the life you're leading, but not be so serious. You know, really lead a life of purpose and of meaning, but lighten up. Really have a sense of joy and a sense of humor about things that are happening. So you misplace your keys, oh well. You know, you will eventually find them, and if not, you'll get new ones. It's taking things so seriously to a point where it starts to disrupt our sense of well-being, and it does affect our health. We will start to become more mindless, or really start to feel like we don't have a sense of relativeness in this world if we're feeling all the time like we're losing our minds. It matters, you know. Don Miguel, one of my favorite books of his, The Four Agreements, you know, he talks so much about what are the stories that you're telling yourself? What are the things that you're saying? And stop believing these lies that he talks about in his book so brilliantly. These are lies that you're telling yourself, that you're getting, you know, I'm losing my mind because I'm getting old.
And a lot of people use that. That's a big one, you know. Oh, when people ask your age, and it's like, I don't remember my age. I could tell you what decade I'm in, but I don't know what my age is. Why is it so important, you know? Let me figure out. I'll get my calculator out, and I'll get the year for you. But it's like, I don't care. And so many people, you'll turn around, they'll say, oh, I'm getting older. I never thought I'd live till this age, or can you believe it? And I don't have a concept of age. I guess maybe I'm just different because most of the women in my family have lived well into their, 99 and 100.
Wow.
So I just don't have that concept of that at all, you know, of an end. You know what I mean? I don't, it just doesn't faze me for some reason. And I think that's kind of a good place to be. And I think I would encourage listeners to say, you know, drop some of the predisposed ideas you have around age, because really, it's here today, gone tomorrow. Our life goes quickly. You know, you don't know any of that. And once you start feeling and saying that you're this, that, or the other, I'm old, I'm sick, I'm this disease, I'm this label, whatever that is, you will become that. And then that is kind of your barrier and your parameters that you're putting on yourself. I know so many times that I'm working with clients, it's like, don't tell me your disease. It really doesn't make a bit of difference to me, you know. I'm not going to diagnose you and put you and give you a treatment based upon that disease. That's not what we do. And, you know, what I really do is look at the person, and I think that's so important for people to start thinking that way.
Absolutely. And as you said, don't put yourself in the boxes that society or that the external world tries to put you in. Really get to know who you are by spending time with yourself. And be who you are. Be that unique, amazing human being that you are, and not try to fit into the box or the way that society has labeled and the way that society has tried to fit us all into. You know, we all have to fit in this way, or we all have to fit in this way, or the media tries to have us believe or think a certain thing. You know, it's very freeing to live your life forming your own opinions, having your own ideas of what you think that your life should be, and then really stepping into your own life and living it free and living it really connected with you, knowing that you are a whole, complete, connected person, and that you're walking this path in your life that you chose and that you feel good about, and you're loving yourself. It always warms my heart when I hear people say, I really want to just get to know who I am and live the life that I want to live. And it doesn't happen overnight, but little by little, as you start to put into practice some things that really start connecting you with you and with your incredible power and strength inside, you can start to really know what that life is that you came here to live. And then it doesn't matter what society or what labels or what boxes are out there, because you feel so strong and comfortable and really grounded in your own 2 feet.
Absolutely. Well, Barb, we have really breezed through this time. Would you like to add anything in closing? And please do tell us about also your events you have coming up, your website, where they could purchase your book, and that would be wonderful.
Well, Dr. Jeanette, this has been the most amazing conversation. Thank you so much. I cannot believe the time is up.
Isn't it? I know.
Yes, my book, The Practice, you can get it at your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all of those neat places. I started a nonprofit, Peaceful Mind, Peaceful Life. All the proceeds of the book, all the talks, all the workshops, everything that I do across the world, all of the profits go to support this mission of really helping people find their inner strength, that outer peace begins with inner peace. So on Facebook and Twitter, barbschmidt.com, peacefulmindpeacefullife.org. And I'm doing a huge event on November 12th here in Boca Raton, Florida at Florida Atlantic University. We're doing a peace and inspiration, night of peace and inspiration with Wayne Dyer's two of his daughters, Sky and Serena Dyer, Gabrielle Bernstein, Tata Harper, bringing in all amazing people talking about peace, inspiration, and how can we really start living this incredible life that we came to this planet to live. So that's November 12th here in Boca Raton, and I'm just I'm excited to have written this book, but I'm also so passionate to be walking the path that I'm on and really grounded in my own purpose and my own mission in life, and that's to help everybody understand how magnificent they are, how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are. So it's a movement. It's a movement to stop the chaos in the external world by really grounding ourselves from the inner world. So thank you so much. It's really been a privilege to be here and speak with you today. I consider you a new friend. It's so wonderful to have a conversation like this.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. You know, as I had said in the beginning, it's just casual conversation about a topic, and I think everybody is in different levels and different realms, and they're able to be able to always pick up some kind of tidbit, and I think that's what we strive for here on the show, and thank you so much for being a part of that.
No, thank you. Yeah, find one thing out of the show and practice it. You'll be amazed at what it can do for your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd like to find out more about Barb Schmidt, her book is called The Practice, Simple Tools for Managing Stress, Finding Inner Peace, and Uncovering Happiness. On the bottom of today's show page, there will be a link directly to her website, and please do check out her book and go to her website, and you'll find out more information, tips, and there's always something there that's very interesting to read and to help supplement the book. And please do dog-ear your book, write in your book. You know, it has a lot of space, and, you know, it's really big print. You don't always need your reading glasses, but of course I do. But, you'll be able to see it, and you'll be able to say, oh, this is really great, you know. And maybe have it by your bed, because you want to have that first words or your first thoughts in the morning to be something of inspiration. You don't always need to be going to Facebook and having your radio, you know, tell you what the traffic is. You know, I noticed that today. When I got up there, I did not talk at all. It was probably an hour before I said one word. And my husband looked at me and he says, "You okay?" And I just nodded. I just wanted peace. I just wanted quiet. And that was the way it was. So please do check out her book. Again, it is The Practice by Barb Schmidt. And thank you so much for joining us today on Sedona Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio. And please do check out all of our links to listen to some of the past shows. And you feel free to post comments. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.